In the name of our one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. This morning's passage from the Gospel of John, often called the cleansing of the temple, it kind of drives me nuts, just a little bit. It did this last week. It did even the week before that, as I was refamiliarizing myself with this passage. Maybe I'll back up just a little bit. This scene that we hear from John, it's in all four of the Gospels. All of them, all of the canonical Gospels. In the other three Gospels, it comes at the end of Jesus' life. It's right after Jesus enters Jerusalem to the waving of palms or branches, as Jesus is in that last week before his crucifixion. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, every year, on Palm Sunday, we read the passage that comes right before the cleansing of the temple. John, though, kind of reverses this. Here in John, the scene occurs at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, right after that wedding, where Jesus turns water into wine. This seeming disagreement between the four Gospels, that is actually not why I wrestle with this passage. Why I wrestle with Jesus driving the money changers and cows and sheep from the temple. The difference between the four Gospels, it's actually not that important to me. And it's kind of nothing compared to the differences in the interpretation of this event. Biblical scholars and preachers are all over the map when we try to say what happened here. And even more, why it happened. Why Jesus made a whip and chased away the religious version of the Foreign Currency Exchange Agency. Because that's what the money changers were. People were coming from all over to the temple, and so they needed to change money, much like you and I would do when we used to cross international borders. Now, different interpretations of scripture, they do not strike me as odd or alarming at all. This happens all the time. What gets very complicated about this passage is at times it's used to justify the very things, the very opposite of what Jesus preached and lived. For example, some Christian groups through the centuries have taught that the temple, the central place of Jewish life and worship, they've taught that the temple was completely corrupt. That the worship that happened in the temple was empty, or even worse, that it was false. The worship of all those faithful Jews for so long. And so this was why Jesus had to go there or went there and cleansed it from its falsehood, its heresy even. From there then, that's kind of a foundational cornerstone to using this passage to justify anti-Semitism. And it has been used for this, to justify even violence against our Jewish sisters and brothers. And through the centuries then, atrocities have been committed by Christians misusing this and other passages of scripture. The passage has also been taken as a justification for other kinds of brutality. not limited to our Jewish siblings, and even justify war. From Augustine in the 4th century to John Calvin in the 16th, to after 9/11 to right now, there are those who have painted this scene as Jesus taking up arms in the form of that whip and violently cleansing the temple. So in a way, doing God's righteous work out of righteous anger. So it's been a very convenient justification for some Christian groups to use violence against those with whom they disagree, or even are just in opposition against, among others, John Calvin and the Roman Catholic Church, who could never agree on much. Both used this passage to murder other Christians who believed differently than they did. The Anglican tradition is not absolved of this either. So all this to say that whenever I read this passage, I'm reminded that I need to tread cautiously, that I need to be suspicious of any interpretation that makes itself out as definitive, as the only one possible, that I need to be much more apprehensive of anyone who uses this or any passage to justify self-serving actions or to justify the exclusion of others or aggression towards someone else. So those things spoke to me as I read this passage over and over again, but thankfully this was not all. This past week, also certain themes came up. Certain themes started to speak into my own life, which is a gift in and of itself. And the passage took a more personal and appropriately Lenten direction. The passage started to tell me this past week that I too need Jesus's whip of cords. Not an actual whip, mind you. No animals, human or otherwise, would be harmed by this whip. And I say that flippantly, maybe, but there is a serious side as well. Christians through the ages, as well as followers of many other religious traditions, have thought that the self-flagellation, so self-punishment, the abusing of one's body through actual whips or other means, was the path toward some supposed purity. I'm not referring to that at all. I'm speaking of a proverbial whip, Jesus's whip as a metaphor, in the form of intentional decisions, intentional discipline, intentional sustained action to help reorder my own house, to reorient my own life, to recenter my priorities, to realign aspects of my own living. Not to inflict discomfort for discomfort's sake. There is no purpose or holiness in suffering for the sake of suffering. But rather to allow my life and my living to hold greater possibilities for following God. At times, these purposeful changes, they can feel a bit like the sting of a whip at times. They can feel jarring, like an overturned table, or at least being shoved to the side a bit, like some errant sheep. Yet it is all for the sake of clearing space. Clearing space in order to allow God to shape us more fully in the image of Jesus. Maybe instead of a whip, you would prefer a bit of spring cleaning. That's also a perfectly apt metaphor. It doesn't have to be a whip. Spring cleaning also takes some work. Either way, it does at times take intentional effort, some real discipline, to clear space for God to work in us. And how this looks for each one of us in our own faith journey is going to be different. There's not one prescription for this. We all may know what we need. We all need to open ourselves up to God in different ways to hear and listen. So, for example, it might look that spring cleaning look like the seemingly simple decision to wake up earlier each day in order to take time to read the Bible or read some devotional or take time in meditation, or just so that we begin the day by pacing ourselves instead of beginning in a rush, almost mindlessly running from one thing to the next. It sounds good to me now at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10:30. It doesn't sound so good or feel so good when I'm actually doing it. It's a little like a whip. We might make some other concrete change. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's some other concrete change, but also in order to clear space in our minds and our emotions for others or for our own thoughts and feelings. We might moderate our screen habits in order to read. Could be novel. Or become more attuned to the needs of others, or simply to be quiet and listen. We might make determined efforts to control our sometimes harsh tongues or critical thoughts or unforgiving attitudes, so that we might better express through our tone and our language, our response, the generosity that we ourselves receive from God. Also, knowing that our thinking and our speaking and our acting are both a testimony of our faith and a reflection of God's life within us. These are my examples for me. You have your own. And any of these adjustments, they could feel uncomfortable. And that is as it should be, because intentional change can be hard. It can feel, even at times, like the sting of that whip, like the sore back from a bit of spring cleaning. Yet any discomfort we feel by making intentional change for the better is in service of allowing God to further God's good work within us and through us. This doesn't have to wait until Lent. There's not just one time every year when we do this. We can do this anytime. Though Lent is it's a propitious season for it. It's a good and right time. It's an opportunity to take a good look at ourselves and offer our lives once more to God's transformative touch, all to more closely align our own way with God's way. Amen.